Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
As we inch closer to the beginning of the season, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here, perched in the Racetime Radio Studio. For the next 2 hours, we will talk some nonstop racing from wall to wall, if you will. And man, what a great weekend it's been in California. If you were out there, the weather was perfect. And man, they got her done on the racetrack. Kyle Busch, Mr. 200. Junior, how about that weekend for Mr. Kyle Busch? He didn't get it done Saturday, but he definitely got it done today.
Yeah, definitely hats off to Cole Custer for going to victory lane in the Xfinity race. But, about 40 laps into that cup race, I think everybody knew that Kyle Busch wasn't messing around today.
Yeah.
That thing was a rocket ship, and he drove the wheels off of it. And big congratulations, man. That's a historical moment, you know, and over the last couple of years, there's been a few major historical moments and milestones crossed within NASCAR, obviously with Jimmy Johnson getting 7 championships and you know, looking down through the line of you know, big historical moments. This has to be right up there with it. 200 wins, you know, across trucks, Xfinity and Cup. That's a major number, and nobody is in line in the next 10 years to cross that number off.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think anybody's going to top it?
Well, I mean, you can't say that nobody is going to top it, but, I mean, right now in this era, I don't think that anybody is in line to top it.
Right, and he's still got lots left in the tank, right? You're going to see a lot more wins coming out of Kyle Busch.
Oh, 100%. He's on it. He's on his game. The momentum that you're seeing right now, he has to be a championship favorite again. Heading into the Final Four, obviously already locked into the championship hunt. Kyle Busch is just a talent that, we talk about all the time. We talk about Kyle Busch. Every media outlet that has anything to do with motorsports has to talk about Kyle Busch all the time. But just an astounding achievement. And really, it has happened really quickly. You know,
it feels like
the last couple weeks. It was 195. You know, and it's not easy to go out and win any of these races. So,
no.
He's crossed off a lot in a very short amount of time, trying to get to that 200. Obviously, wanting to get there for the Vegas race weekend,
right?
But just a wicked weekend for Kyle Busch, and definitely something that the entire sport has to celebrate and kind of congratulate him on.
Well, yeah, if you think he's going to lay back, guess what? Martinsville is next weekend. I can guarantee you he is going to be a force. He's back in the truck next weekend as well. One of those 5 that he has remaining. And Martinsville, he loves that racetrack. So do a number of guys. It's going to be a smoker truck race.
Yeah, it will be for sure. And obviously it doesn't stop at 200. It doesn't. And you can guarantee you he's hungry for more. And it's interesting because Fox poured a lot of resources into talking about this moment, you know, over the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Fox, you know, put a big spotlight on it and really created that controversial, water cooler debate over his 200 number versus Richard Petty's 200 number. And when you look at how Kyle Busch has got there, definitely a different path, but a completely different environment. Both of them raced against hard-nosed competitors, but I would put the competition level in the races that Kyle Busch has been in since the beginning of his career at a tougher competition level than where Richard Petty was at. So, you know, I don't think that you can compare the two because it's Cup versus the top three series.
Right, right.
But I think that Kyle Busch needs to be celebrated just as much as Richard Petty's 200. Even though they're two completely different 200s, right. I think that Kyle Busch's is just an astounding number.
Well, like Mike Joy said on the Fox broadcast earlier today, he said there's a number of guys, when you add up the top three in NASCAR, the top three series in NASCAR over the course of history, there's some guys that have got 700 wins.
But the top three was different.
Sure,
so
it was. Yeah,
so
it was different.
The top three was considerably different. You know, you used to have the Grand National Series, and then you used to have the Cup Series and the Modifieds. The Modifieds raced, you know, at different racetracks all across the Southeast, and
shorter races
and
too,
shorter
right?
races definitely a completely different measurable than being the top three National Series.
Right. Right.
And,
no, I agree.
And you know, when you look at Kyle Busch's achievements, he's still young. He's still a young guy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you look at a guy like Mark Martin racing into his 50s. Kyle Busch is going to be right there as well. I don't foresee him getting out of a car without getting his bell rung. Touch wood. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Right, right.
Without getting his bell rung, I don't think that he's climbing out of the car anytime soon. So,
no.
And you know, when you look at even when he did get his bell rung, he got his feet crushed at Daytona. You know,
right,
so
right.
It's a guy that's going to battle through adversity you know, continually put numbers up on the board. And really, I feel that he has a chip on his shoulder to get more Cup wins. And over the last two seasons, you've seen him turn a major corner and really do better in Cup than he did in the past. And, you know, he's obviously got 53 Cup wins now. That is a number that he wants to boost. You know, obviously everybody does want to boost their number. But I think that he's got a big chip on his shoulder and definitely wants to chase after that 100 in the Cup Series.
Well, he is definitely a super, super talented individual. And kind of cool to see he hit 200 today.
Even though he has me blocked on Twitter for some ungodknown reason, Kyle Busch.
Yeah, well.
Unblock me, damn it.
Yeah, we'll see if he does.
I don't really care if he does.
Here's who we've got coming on tonight. Speaking of talent, we're loaded up with it here tonight on Racetime Radio. Off the top, and just in a few moments after the first break, we're going to hear from the number 99 Ford in the Parts for Trucks Tour. We're going to hear from Craig Slonwhite here tonight. We'll have a look into 2019 and see how preparations are coming along. He's a little bit of a drought, Junior, when it comes time for Victory Lane. But make that no sign of what Craig Slonwhite has got in the tank. That guy can move. I've seen him a number of times finish as a bridesmaid over the last couple of years. Craig Slonwhite's the real deal, and you can bet it's burning him that he hasn't hit Victory Lane here in the last few races. Watch him in 2019.
You know, last year, right around this time, we had probably 5 to 6 Parts for Trucks Tour guys on. And, of course, last week we had Kent Vincent. A few weeks back we had Dylan Blankhorn. You know, we're getting ready for the season. Last year at this time, we had talked to 5 to 6 guys who had brand new race cars on the jig.
Yep.
You know, and we haven't had that this year. You know, Kent Vincent is coming back with his Gary Crooks piece that he had from last year. We haven't talked or heard of many new pieces of equipment rolling out onto the racetrack
That
we have heard of,
right,
yet to this point.
Right.
We're going to talk to Craig a little bit about that, because last year there was a lot of new hardware roll out on that racetrack, night number one. And even more new hardware roll out onto the racetrack for some of the bigger events, from both King Racing rolling out with their new piece, and then as well, you know, guys showing up with new pieces halfway through the year, you know, with Cole Butcher unloading a brand new race car about halfway through the year.
Right, right.
But it'll be interesting to see what Craig has put in place. Coming out skunked from last year, I feel that a guy like Craig Slonwhite is going to be coming out swinging with both hands.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be interesting to kind of get a look behind the Iron Curtain and see what they've got put together, what they've got assembled for the 2019 season, and see what else we can hear. He's an informed guy.
Oh, yeah.
And Craig Slonwhite is an informed guy on that East Coast, so we'll see if he knows of any of the competitors. I know every time that you're a competitor and you hear that somebody's building a new piece,
right,
you know about it. Yeah. You hear about it.
Yeah.
And so we'll get a little bit of a snapshot on what the competition is also building that he has heard through the grapevine.
We'll also hear tonight from a guy that's all signed up, ready to go for the APC Series. He's also part of the Alan Kowicki Driver Development Program this year, I do believe. He's got a rope for hope in the Children's Make-A-Wish. The 54 of Danny Benedict had a great show at Motorama. He's going to join us here tonight. He is one of those rising stars, if you will, in that APC Series. He's going to be interested to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And really, the first time we talked to Danny Benedict was last year that I can remember, you know, and really got a look at what his racing program was going to be. It was right around this time last year that we actually talked to Danny for the first time on the program. And, of course, getting ready for Sunset Speedway last year, full-time in the limited late models with Dale Shaw and Graham Anus and those guys putting an effort together. Night number one at Sunset, I was there last year,
right,
and I was astounded. They were there. They meant business. That car was a rocket ship from the time that they unloaded right the way through the Great Lakes Concrete Series and then as well towards the championship at the end of the season at Sunset. Had a lights-out season, just a great high-performance season from a relatively young team. And, you know, it definitely turned a lot of people's heads because the equipment was there, number one. The reliability was there, number two. And it looked like he's there to mean business. And, you know, it was not a shock to me to hear that he was going to be full-time in the APC Tour this year.
No,
it wasn't
not
at
a
all.
Shock,
after,
no.
After seeing the performance that he had, it's a big step up from limited late models at a local track or pro late models at a local track to full-time in the APC Tour. It's definitely a big step for a team. That being said, I think the effort that they put in at Sunset last year is worthy of a top five in the APC Tour.
Wow.
And
good.
And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to catch up with him. Obviously, there's a lot of cool things happening with the Kowicki program. Really, the first guy in Ontario to be a part of this program. I can't remember another Ontario team or driver being a part of the Kowicki program. Can
no,
you?
Me neither.
Like looking out east, obviously, Cole Butcher has been a part of the program.
A couple of years.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. But definitely a cool program. You know, we'll get a look at his, you know, portion of the program at least, and kind of catch up. We did hear some news. Local competitor Taylor Holdaway is going to be driving for Danny Benedict on some off nights in the limited late model over
at
Sunset.
He's going to do somewhat of double duty this year.
There's a lot of news coming out of this Benedict camp.
Yeah.
A lot of news.
We're going to find out the whole skinny on it tonight. If his car goes half as fast as it looks, that car looks amazing.
It does, for sure. They did a great job with the design of it. The body is hung. It's, you know, hung in all the right places, and it looks great. From everybody that I talked to at the show, they said that car looks mint. So it should be interesting. We'll catch up with him, obviously, and it'll be a great interview. And I think we're going to have him on a lot more this season.
Well, hey, results. I wouldn't doubt we have him on quite a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Going to be awesome to catch up with Danny tonight. We'll also catch up with one of those Gender Outdoor NASCAR truck drivers. How about the Champion Power Equipment Ford for Thor Sport, the number 98? We've got Grant Enfinger coming on here tonight. That'd be a good idea to catch up with Grant just ahead of Martinsville. Grant's a two-time winner in the truck series. He is one of those guys that is right there, ready to pounce. He wants that win, and I kind of got a sneaky suspicion he's going to do real, real good at Martinsville. What do you think?
Is it a two or a three-time?
Two.
Two?
Two. Yeah. Huh. He's got three bowls.
I thought he won last year twice. And he won once with GMS with the 24.
Well, you know what?
We're going to have to pull that up because I'm thinking that it's three.
Now that you say that, it just may be three.
I'm thinking it's three. But anyways,
he's
rolling
in. He's got a winner
in
at Gateway. I know that. He's a winner at Homestead. Those two racetracks.
We're going to pull it up because I think it's more than two. We did this once before to Grant.
Do you think?
Well, we did the one time we talked to him.
I know he's a 16-time winner in the ARCA presented by Menards Series.
Lots of wins over there. But,
yeah, and a champion, I might add.
Just a great cat. And
no wins at Martinsville, though.
No, and he is a short track guy through and through. You
Mobile,
know?
Yeah. Salem. He's got lots of wins at all those other half-mile tracks.
Exactly, and definitely a guy that wants to have one of those clocks, one of those grandfather clocks from Martinsville Speedway. Just a hard-nosed short track competitor, I think that it's a good omen to have him on this week because we've had a lot of guys preview and then go out there and get the checkered. So it should be pretty cool to talk
to
Grant.
You know what? Without even looking it up, I'm going to tell you right now that Grant is a three-time winner. He did win one the year before, I'm thinking, because he did win at Talladega.
He won at Talladega GMS.
Yes, he did.
With the plug phones truck.
That is a three-time winner in Grant and Vigor, but we're going to catch up with him tonight. Tell you what, Junior, we'll hit this break. And then we'll get Susie to grab Craig Slotin-White. We'll start talking to some talent here in mere moments. Stay with us. We will be back with you live tonight on Race Time. Stay with us.
Don't know I'm down here. Must be something I said.
Hi, this is Bob Barron from Carquest Auto Parts for Race Time Radio.
Small imperfection in my soul, in my head.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engines!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win! Woo!
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL game day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL game day
on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio.
Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
No, no, don't do that. Don't do that. If you shoot him, you'll just make him mad.
Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you carved out some time to join Junior and I. And
you are right. Two-time winner.
Two-time
winner, three-time pole.
Right.
Sitter.
Yeah.
For Grant. You were correct.
Oh, imagine
Vegas,
that.
Vegas last year, and then in 16 he won at Talladega for GMS.
Mike, we're glad we record this show. I'm going to be able to play that. You were right. back a bunch of times. I can't wait on
that. We don't agree on much.
No. No, not on much.
On this show,
yeah,
we agree on some things, and usually the stats back you up.
Yeah, too funny. Welcome back.
It's all good.
Let's get to the hotline. Let's get talking some Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour preseason preview with one of these guys that I believe is going to have multiple wins this year. I'm going to go out and predict that. He's going to have multiple wins this year. He drives the 99 for Halifax Glass and Mirror. At least he used to. Hopefully he still does. Let's welcome in Craig Slonway. What's going on there, Craig? Welcome back to Racetime Radio.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
Doing real good, my friend. How did winter treat you, and how's that 99 car coming along?
Yeah, winter's been good. Been snowing, bailing. The 99 car, the old car, is kind of sitting here on jack stands. The car being built right now with Gary Crooks, Port City Race Cars down there. So just waiting for progress to go down and finish things up down there before bringing it home. So.
Wow, new hardware. New hardware is always an exciting thing. But waiting on it is kind of like waiting on Christmas, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm bugging Gary every day for pictures, so I'm probably driving him nuts.
I wonder if he's sending you. Now, if I was a chassis builder, I would just have a car that's, you know, in build progress, and I would send that picture. And, it would just be a stock picture on my phone. That's what I would do.
We would never know the difference up here anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, a real old one, right? Just in case you share it.
That's exactly.
Right.
Oh, man, that's too funny. Craig, leading up into the beginning of the show here, you know, kind of the kickoff, talking about who we're going to have on the show tonight. And last year at this time, we had, you know, 5 to 6 guys on the program that already had new cars being built. And that was kind of one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. We haven't heard that as much this year, that many people building new pieces for next year. It sounds like there's a lot of returning equipment from what we have heard thus far. But you're one of those guys with a new piece on the chopping block. So that's definitely exciting. But what all have you heard from the competition base? Have you heard many new pieces being built for next year?
Geez, yeah, from what I know, there's some new pieces up around here. I mean, I know there was a bunch of new ones last year. And again, I think from what I hear, there's probably another 4 or 5 new ones coming this way again, but could be wrong. People like to play with people as well, right?
Oh, yeah. And everybody likes keeping a secret. You kept this one pretty good. I didn't know you were getting another brand new car.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's been something that's kind of in the works. Didn't know if we could pull it off or not. And some exciting things coming out anyways for us in the next little while. The biggest thing is we got the new car on the go from Port City. So that's, we've been talking about it all winter, but just kind of pulled the trigger on it here a little while ago. So.
You got to love it, Craig. There wasn't much wrong with the 99 from last year and years gone past. What made you make that decision to go with a brand new car? Has the technology changed that much that you figure you need it? Or is it just time for a new ride?
Well, it's all in your own brain. You know, my car is 2011, and the guys we're racing against is, obviously, they're in brand new cars all the time. I should say that there are a couple guys that are there every year, new car every 6 races, whatever it may be. I know Cole had a couple of them flip back and forth, but at the end of the day, it's just all in your head. I'm running a 2011 car. It's been hit a few times. I mean, we know it's square, we know it's straight, but in the back of your mind, it's, man, if we had a new piece that didn't flex as much, would we be that tenth of a second better? Because that's all we're off in our old car. I know that we can pull off a win in the old car. We could. I mean, I've over the last couple of years we've thrown away, in my opinion, probably 4 wins. I mean, with just little things that you miss during the week, or things that, like, a track bar bolt took me out of 2 races over the last 2 years. So you just don't see that stuff happening. So. Anyway, the whole new car thing is my old car is a Hampke. Gary now owns Sport City. He's been loyal to me, and it's time for me to be loyal to him.
Amazing. You know, Craig, I think back to last year, and I believe it was the Cat 250 at Scotia Speed World. You went out there, and you were really flying, led the race, led quite a bit of the race, if I remember correctly, went into the pits and picked up the new tires, came back out, and lost like four or five spots, ducked back into the pits, got the old skins back on, and to the front you went again, but you couldn't stay there. The tires had finally gave up.
Yeah, I had an awful time last year with tires. I don't know if it was just luck of the draw, bad luck of the draw or not. I mean, I hate to sit here and complain because I know other guys had the same issues as well, but there were a couple times last year. I know Petty, the international weekend, I was out front. I took the lead probably, five, six, seven laps in, something like that. Kind of checked out on everyone. Was honestly pacing myself. Everybody said, you had so much of a lead. Why didn't you hold back? Why didn't you wear out your stuff? And, you know, I mean, whenever I talk to you, whenever I talk to my guys, it's, you know, you have to save your stuff too, and I was. But we put that second set of tires on, and it didn't matter how good the car was. We literally went from first to almost last until I was able to take tires. And by that time, your old tire, or your good set of tires that you had on, or the better set, you could say, they've already got way more laps than the next guy. They're good for that 20 laps, and then they just fall right off. So that was Petty. That was international weekend. I know IWK 250. We were good. We were real good in my opinion. Myself and the 13 car, I think we were probably class of the field for the first while there. And then I took the second set of tires and toward the back I went. Ended up putting the other tires on, coming back through to, I think we ended up finishing sixth or something like that. But I mean, I don't know. It was luck of the draw on tires on the bad side of things for us last year. Hopefully we can get those gremlins fastest because, in my opinion, I think I could have contended for the championship a lot closer with Cole. I mean, I know he went out and won a bunch more races, but at the end of the day, you know, it was the bonus points and all that kind of stuff that we could have capitalized on and just didn't have the luck for it. But hopefully this year it's a different situation.
Absolutely. One thing with those tires, what was it in your opinion that actually happened? Was it just an inconsistent, on the durometer side, or was it growth and stagger
no,
growth,
was,
or,
yeah,
or what was it?
100% growth. It was, you know, you put enough heat cycles in them to size, and you think that your two sets are somewhat identical. You start exactly where you know they're going to be, and we've seen a tire grow an inch or shrink an inch. I mean,
wow,
that's kind of a quarter of an inch is a lot, let alone an inch, right?
Absolutely, right. Yeah, 100%. Well, that's definitely interesting, and really, to be honest with you, first time I've heard of it on this side of the border, which is interesting. You know, I know racers usually keep that stuff pretty close to the chest, but like I've seen that same type of thing, you know, in the Cars Tour, there was a little bit of a cycle there where it was happening to those guys down south, but first I've heard of it on this side. Definitely to do with how the tire is constructed now, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that heading into next year, and definitely something to keep our eye on, you know, through the broadcast portion for each of those races that RTR does.
Well, I'll tell you, it was something watching Craig in that race. I distinctively remember it where he was, honest to God, going, and that car was a rocket. I thought, he picks up new skins. I said to Tim Terry and Brad and Josh and Jerry, I said, you watch this 99 car. He gets new skins. This thing's really going to ignite. And that car went totally backwards. I felt so bad for you,
yeah.
Craig. I really, really did.
I felt bad for myself.
I bet.
No doubt. Craig, talk to us a little bit about the, you know, you touched on it a little bit from 2011 to a brand new car, that tenth of a second you mentioned. And you've been in this game a long time. You've been racing for quite a while now. Kind of look back through, you know, your history within the sport and talk about that tenth of a second. Is it harder to find? It's obviously harder to find today than what it was back a few years ago. But that tenth of a second seems to be what everybody is looking for. And how do you see getting that tenth of a second?
You know what? A tenth of a second right now is literally the difference from winning or finishing about 15th on the tour. And, I mean, back when I first started, when I was a rookie in this class in 2008, you had to have your T's crossed, your I's dotted, but you know, you could hit or miss a setup and pull off a win. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You could be within a quarter of an inch, an eighth of an inch. But now, it's a totally different era up here anymore, it sure seems. I shouldn't even say up here, it's the same everywhere. Everybody up here has more of an affiliation with somebody down south, that the cars and the competition and the drivers are all that close at a 16th, like literally a 16th of a packer on your bump stack, is a difference from, again, winning or finishing 15th. It's a 16th. Sway bar up or down in size. It's a 16th on your trough bar. Like, I mean, people don't realize you think you're running just a stock car and then, you know, thrown together and you get it close and you have fun. For us, I mean, it's basically a full time job. It's something you strive for every day. You eat, breathe, and you sleep it. So you're in the shop and you start at the front and you work your way to the back every week, making sure that you don't miss a 16th here, a 16th there, and a 16th here, because all of a sudden you're out an eighth, quarter, three, what, you know, whatever it takes, and then you're fighting the car the whole weekend because you've missed something just so small. And everybody knows that anymore, and they're all double-checking square and bump steering. Man, it's everything. Everybody is just on top of their game, and it's the difference between a car dominating or a car finishing 15th. It's no joke.
Yeah, he who nails it is going to see you in victory lane, right? We've seen it so Absolutely. Many times. We've seen guys in this tour start one of those 150s, 200s, or 250s out back around the 10th spot, and before you know it, after some pit stops, they got the thing dialed back in, and look at them go. They're up front, and the guy that was up there isn't up there anymore because the guy that was back there hit on something and moved his way to the front. Pretty wild to see.
And that's all it is. You just have to hit on that one small adjustment that you know, it's the you fly by the seat of your pants, you totally analyze the car during the race or during practice or during qualifying, and you try and make that slightest adjustment that's going to make you that much better, and it literally makes you go from hero to zero or zero to hero.
Absolutely. Craig, talk a little bit about the testing out there on the East Coast side. Here it seems, you know, and you guys can test whenever you want. It depends on how much money you got and how many tires you want to throw at it. But you guys can test whenever you want out there. Do you hear many guys now over-testing and kind of dialing themselves out based on the adjustments that, you know, they are there the day that the weather, you know, is, or the way that the weather is when they're there? Do you hear guys dialing themselves out that way just through the amount of testing that you see out there?
You know, I honestly can't sit here and tell you that guys will go to the track and dial themselves out.
No.
I mean, I know you can get to the track and you can go the wrong way,
yep.
But while you're there, chances are you can kind of get that back unless you're literally swinging for fences and trying something big. Everybody's baseline setup that they appear with at the racetrack anymore, I think here, you don't go very far from that, and you're always going to be good other than, you know, I mean, I think that the guys that can afford to go a few times before the season starts or more times during the week, you're going to be better. I mean, it's a proven fact. The more you test, the better you're going to be.
Yeah.
It's no different than your regular job. The more you do your regular job, the better you're going to be at it. So, I mean, I think it's more an advantage than it would be a dial yourself out disadvantage anymore.
Cool.
We're with Craig Slonwhite tonight, driver the 99 out in Halifax. Get ready for the Parts for Trucks Tour 2019. Craig, let's have a look at the schedule. You're going to kick it all off at Petty International Raceway. Then you guys are going to head to Scotia Speed World, off to Riverside. You're going to the island twice. You got a number of races out there. It's going to be a dynamite season with the new car, the new setup. What are you thinking? Where is your best chance to hit victory lane once again?
Oh, geez, I got the PEIs on my list. I have not won there. That's the only track I think that I have not won in a late model car. So I'd love to get a win there. Obviously, IWK 250 kind of sitting there. That's the only 250 that I don't have. I mean, I would love to be able to pull that race off. At the end of the day, I would love to have a championship under my belt too before the time comes that I don't do this full time anymore. But I mean, it's a whole lot of if you shoulda, coulda, woulda. I mean, I'm pretty fortunate for what I've been able to do so far. So looking forward to 2019, definitely with a new car. Gary's got a good enough package going on right now down there. I don't think that we'll struggle, have bad new car woes as bad as some have in the past. Because I know when guys get a new car, sometimes you waste half your season trying to figure it out. So I'm hoping, I mean, it can happen, but I'm hoping that we won't be in that situation. But no, I mean, looking forward to it. Obviously, our goal is win races. Never got a chance to hold the Texas flag last year, and it kind of, it hurts. I don't like getting through a year without holding that checker flag. And I mean that doesn't matter where we're at when you hold the checker flag. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what race it is. It's still a race win. So,
yeah, that fire always burns. It never goes out. It may die down a little bit, but it'll never go away until you get that flag back in your hands. I know the Parts for Trucks Tour is the focus for you, but I can't help but look at some of the other big events. I see Tim Terry tonight just tweeted out. A link to the, or maybe not a link, but definitely 660 has got their schedule out. I see the big 250 is going to be the same weekend as it always is, Labor Day weekend, the 250 at 660. But we've got the Canadian Short Track Nationals happening at Jukasa. Are you looking down the road? Are you thinking one or the other? Or are you just going to concentrate Parts for Trucks and let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, for me, it's a chips forward because, you know, it all depends on budget when it comes to that time of the year. Last year, I mean, we had a good year. We finished, it seemed like we finished third every friggin' week, but it was decent because you got that little bit of money coming in to kind of cover your tires for the weekend, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you have a couple bad races and you get $200 checks instead of $1,500, $1,400 checks that cover some part of your weekend. It makes it hard to get to a non-points race. I know they're for money, and any one of us up here, I think, can pull off a win and make a big check, but it's to get there and to pay for your bills is the other part of it. And for us, for my team, it is definitely a decision that comes just weeks before that event. You know, it depends on how the season's going, depends on how the previous week went, because we race so much, we only have such a short summer, a packed schedule, that one bad weekend, you know, you got to slug your guts out to get the car ready for the next weekend. Sometimes when that big race comes, you and your crew, I mean, my guys, or not just my guys, all the people that help on the cars up here, majority of them are doing it for the good of their health, and it's just they enjoy racing. Nobody's getting paid, so that weekend off is awful nice for them and their families too. And we all want to race, but you all have to live a little bit of a life too. Now, as far as the 660, 250, I mean, that's always on the radar. We weren't going to do it last year until the week of. We didn't even do the Saturday practice event. We just drove up. We did the one-day deal, the Sunday race. I wish the 250 was actually on a Saturday up there.
Right.
But then again, it's the nationals in that national event in Ontario. Like, I mean, our guys went up there last year and done exceptionally well. So there's, yeah, it's on the mind. If it comes that point of the year and the kind of money, what is it, $100,000 or something to the winner?
It's a $300,000 purse. $75,000 goes to the winner. It's off the hook.
Yeah, I mean, that is off the hook. I couldn't imagine going to the race up there. And again, any one of us can pull it off. I know Bubba Pollard came up and he pulled it off. But listen, there's lots of guys around here. It doesn't have to be a Bubba Pollard from Alabama that come up here and beat everybody. There's lots of guys around here that can go up there and dominate that race. And, you know, I like to consider myself one of them. If you go up and you hit on that 16th, you can pull off a win and put $75,000 into your race team. I could not imagine it. Couldn't imagine. I know our 250s here pay like the $10,000 to win, plus lap money. That's a big show for us. You put $10,000 in your race account. That's allowing you to do. It's allowing you to put some morning parts on it. It's allowing you to do a couple extra races at the end of the year. Boys, I couldn't imagine winning $75,000.
Yeah,
the beers would be so much colder at $75,000. Like
me and the captain would sail for a week.
Unbelievable! It's going to be a great summer, Craig. Final question for you: how's the sponsorship coming along? I mentioned Halifax Glass and Mirror. They back on with you. How is it coming? And how's the crew looking?
The crew, everybody seems real excited to get going, especially with the new car coming and with, again, Gary's affiliation just adds a little bit of excitement to everything for us and my guys, you know. The sponsorship, it's one of those deals that right, you know, between now and in another 2, 3, 4 weeks' time, you solidify everything. I obviously don't have everything set in stone yet. I don't want to jinx myself, so I don't really like talking about it until I know for sure I have them. The people that have been with me have been so loyal. I have to thank every star that they've been with me this long, and new ones, old ones, whatever it may be. I mean, we're always looking for new sponsors. We thank the old ones, because if it wasn't for them, obviously we wouldn't be able to do what we do. But again, fingers are crossed that everyone's back. My guys are excited. New car adds to our program, so can't wait, really.
Yeah, Craig, it's going to be awesome. You do a great job. Those sponsors are very well treated when they're on that 99 car, and it always pays dividends to wait till that snow's gone before you actually go and try and talk to them about summer, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be a burden on anybody, like, talk money up here when there's snow on the ground to kind of, you don't like being that guy.
Yeah, I hear you. It's amazing. Bud, this has been great catching up with you, and so cool to hear that you got a brand-new Crooks car coming. This is going to make for an exciting season with you, with what you got going on and what everybody else has got going on. It's truly going to be another magnificent year in the Parts for Trucks Tour.
Oh, it definitely should be. Can't wait to get rolling. I wish it was tomorrow.
Well, hang in there. Keep bugging Gary. He'll get that car ready, and I know he can't get it done too soon because you'll want to go test it in a Walmart parking lot if you have to, as soon as that thing arrives.
Yeah, he knows the deal.
I wouldn't doubt it. Craig, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Great, guys. Have a good one. Nice talking to you.
You bet. That's Craig Slonwhite, driver of the 99 from Halifax. He is going to be a force, Junior. You mark my words.
Yeah, definitely. And, man, you mentioned it And it just crossed my mind, and I was searching it out. That the 50,000 or the Jucasa race is the same weekend as the 660-250.
It is.
That's a rough deal for me.
It is, and it was the same last year.
It's been the same weekend all for a very long time. That 660 race.
Oh,
it's
forever, been, for 30-40 years probably.
Exactly, and that's a tough pill to swallow because that is going to hold back quite a few guys from coming from the east side to the big race. Not too many Ontario guys have ever made the trip over for that 660 race, so I don't think it's going to impact their car count very much. But I wish that more Eastern guys would be able to attend. I think that's definitely a tough deal.
Well, Dave Oblinas, the 48 car, he would fit this Canadian Short Track Nationals real good. He doesn't want to give that race up, though.
I mean,
the 250 out there, it pays really good. It's a big, big event on the east coast of Canada, and it's a historic event. So it'll be hard for guys like that to give it up. I know last year, Cassius Clark was there. Now Cassius told us he's coming to the Short Track Nationals.
Yeah.
So he missed it last year. Doesn't want to miss it again this year.
I just really hope that it doesn't impact. You know, I don't want to see any race ever get impacted by another race.
Neither do I.
You know, and I don't think that anybody in the industry does want that. It's just a really big bummer to me that there's a 250 that ran for a long time. And really, it's just a side effect of a big show, I guess, for it to click in. And I'm not saying negative things about anybody here with saying that. I just, it's kind of disheartening to me to realize that, man, that's why more Eastern guys can't attend, because they're going to that 660 race. But if I was on the East Coast, you know, if I was a pro stock tour guy,
right?
I would rather tow 3.5 or 4 hours to, or even 6 hours to 660 to race for 15 or 20 grand with lap money,
right?
Than to tow 25 hours to race for 75. That being said, it's a really big show over here. So
sure it is. You make it.
That's a big decision for anybody to make. You know, you've seen a guy last year, Taylor Holdaway. He raced his way in through the last chance qualifier and drove his way all the way up to 10th.
Yeah.
You know, there's the opportunity once you're in that show. Making the show is an accomplishment.
It's huge.
And getting there, getting past there, and being competitive is definitely a big thing. So, you look at the list of competitors that were in the top five. Obviously, your Watson and your Fitzpatrick, they got lots of laps there. But the top three were foreign guys, right?
Right.
To here. So there's a lot of competition. It's a bummer to me that the 250, that there's a big race competing with a big race in any way, shape, or form here in Canada. That's definitely a tough pill to swallow for me.
We're going to hit a quick break here. We got lots more on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We will be back.
This is Randy Hooker, owner of the Country View Golf Course, number 38 Chevrolet, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time. Whether you're tuned in here on Sirius XM Channel 167, good evening to you. Or how about the Performance Motorsport Network.com? A couple times throughout the course of the week, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it may be there. Or how about 98.9 XFM in good old Antigonish, Nova Scotia, home of the IWK 250 at Riverside, I might add. 50 years is what they're celebrating in 2019. You're going to hear lots about that on Racetime Radio. And, oh, by the way, if you got your campsite booked yet for the IWK 250, you're going to want to do that because I'm telling you what, it's going to be beyond full. In 2019, Kenny Wallace is coming back out to win that trophy this time around. He's loaded for bear. Can't wait to get out here. We heard from Kenny a couple weeks ago. How about CTMP? Don't forget, those Gander outdoor NASCAR trucks are coming back to CTMP for the Silverado 250 weekend coming up August the 25th weekend. Tickets are on sale now. You want to save some dough, get to the hip, get to the site, and get those tickets. They are on sale now. You don't want to miss the truck series coming north of the border. It's Canada's ultimate NASCAR weekend. The NASCAR Pinty Series, along with those trucks. And speaking of trucks, we will hear from Grant Enfinger, one of those truck competitors. We're going to hear from him here in hour number two tonight, along with Danny Benedict. He's coming up in hour number two as well. He is all registered in and ready to go for the APC series that runs in the province of Ontario. Junior, what a great-looking schedule. By all accounts, really, when you look through all the different schedules, we got a great summer coming up.
Oh, yeah. There's a tremendous amount of big races, things to be excited for. You know, when you look at my schedule is full now. Like between work and going to racetracks,
yeah.
I'm going to be a busy cat come basically the beginning of May. And that makes me excited, you know.
When you
look at, you know, just all the great events that that are going to come across the block this year. I'm going to get a chance to, I'm of course spotting with DJK again this year in the Pinty series, and by the sounds of it, doing a couple late model races. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but there's a couple of late model races in there, on the schedule. So that's definitely exciting stuff.
Good deal.
And then as well, working with, I'm going to be working with Dion Verhoeven. And his son Brandon, in the 7 car, they're building a great program for 2019 in the APC Tour. So whenever I can make that, by the sounds of it, I'm only going to miss like two shows in the APC Tour. So
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so that should be pretty exciting. And then as well, working locally here, Sauble Speedway, there's some big events going to be happening at Sauble. There's two off weekends that I might be working with Andrew. So going to be pretty exciting. Lots of late model racing, Pinty's racing. If there was a couple of races that you know you want to check off your bucket list, I think Sauble Speedway this year, the doubleheader APC weekend, I think that there's going to be a really different feel in short track late model racing surrounding that event.
That's 3 days in a row, but two APC races on Friday, yeah. Sunday. That is, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
That is going to be an off the wall, off the chip weekend.
Yes, and it's not, you know, it's not like you're qualifying on the Friday and then you're racing on the Sunday.
No.
This here is two full blown events back to back, 2 days apart.
Points paying both days.
Money paid out both days. Just a really cool schedule. You know, when you look at a big event, you know, for late model racing, like the Great Canadian 200 at Delaware Speedway for the longest time.
Right.
You would go down there Friday. You would race regular Saturday night or regular Friday night racing. You would take the Saturday off, and then you would race the Great Canadian 200. You know, that was a really cool event. Nobody has a 3 day, you know, 2 point paying race, 100 lap late model race.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And I think that the competition base, you know, that even if you're not a full time competitor, you know, at Sauble, you need to be there because it's going to be off the charts exciting.
You better have your stuff all ratcheted up, I'll tell you what. If you're going to go there and do well on that weekend, you're going to have to be one of those professional short track race teams that we all love to watch.
There's going to be a feel similar to what you get at Speed Weeks down at New Smyrna. I know it's only two.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's only two, but you're going to get there on the Friday and you're going to unload and you're going to race a full event. There's going to be cars being worked on in parking lots from Owen Sound all the way over to Port Elgin.
Sure there is.
And there's going to be a tremendous amount of work being put in because you're not going to be hauling back to your shop, stripping the car and taking it apart. You're going to stay there, right? For a majority of the competition base, unless you're the local guys. But really the feel for that weekend is going to be something special. And I think that that's really exciting. Obviously you work there and it's close and near and dear to our heart. Sauble Speedway is, but that event itself, just as a racer, I don't care if I lived in Burlington, that would be an exciting, you know, weekend to go take in.
To be at the beach. I agree wholeheartedly, and that's not because I'm just going to be part
exactly.
of the stuff out there.
Yep.
It is one of the ones, I can tell you, Paul Grisel, the owner of Sauble Speedway, is really, really coming unglued for that event that weekend.
Yes.
He can't wait for it. He's got a lot of camping stuff going to happen. It's really going to be cool. You know what, Junior? We are going to, in mere moments here, throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and stuff you may have missed in the last hour or so. We'll get you up to date on that, and then we will kick off hour number two. But I got just a couple of seconds here, I want to let you know what kind of summer we've got planned here at Racetime Radio. We got some big announcements coming out here over the next couple of weeks. Of course, you know, if you're a regular listener to Racetime, we do live races. And we have got not only the live races we've done historically, but we could be adding some here for 2019. And I'm really excited to tell you that. Can't tell you where or when, but you keep it tuned to Racetime Radio, because I'll tell you, in the next couple of weeks, we are going to come out with some major announcements that will guaranteed have you excited. If you can't be at some of these big races, you're going to be able to tune into them live, flag to flag, on Racetime Radio. And that's what it's all about, right? You can't make it. We got to make sure that we can get you covered. But let's throw it back to Toronto. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. And I'll tell you what, we got some talent coming up here in hour number two. Danny Benedict is going to join us, driver of the 54 from over Barrie Way. He's jumping into the APC series. He is going to join us here in hour two. Along with Hubba Grant Enfinger, drives for Thor Sport in a Ford for that Champion Power equipment. I think of those guys, Junior, every time the power goes out. We've had some wicked storms. I know there was another big one through the U.S. Midwest, I guess.
Yep.
It went through. You got to know that places like Champion Power Equipment will be busy, busy guys. They got good stuff. I've seen their equipment, had a look at their generators, and I'll tell you what, they're the real deal, and they're affordably priced.
Yep, and they're definitely, you know, when you look at Champion themselves, they're big supporters of motorsports. You know, Grant Enfinger, they've been with Grant for a long period of time. You see them on lots of different ARCA cars throughout, you know, thinking back through the list, and lots of racing involvement, of course, a partner with ARCA and those guys. So just a great company and pretty cool. They've got a pretty cool cat that drives for them, too.
They sure do. Grant, they couldn't have picked a better guy than Grant Enfinger. The guy lights the lamp. He's going to do it again. You know he's going to be part of that chase, right?
Oh, yeah, Paul, 100%.
He's going to be.
100% he's going to be.
Just got to win a race.
Well, this is a perfect segue. Of course, Grant Enfinger is from Alabama.
Right.
South Alabama Speedway this weekend, of course, the 43rd annual Rattler 250 was this weekend.
Yeah.
Just always a big race. Giovanni Brabani, of course, picked up the checkered flag. Big win for him. Stacked competition, man. Just a full field of super late models and good super late models. So that's definitely a big feather in the cap for Giovanni. Harrison Burton came home second. Ty Majeski third. Connor Okrezik, driver of the KBR 14, came home in fourth. Josh Brock was fifth. Jeff Foltz sixth. Colin Garrett seventh. Jeremy Page 21. He was in eighth. Jack Dorsey, Jeff Nolan, Stephen Nassy. The list goes on and on, man.
Stephen Nassy back that far.
Yeah, definitely. And and really, like when you go down through the list, of course, the pole winner was Casey Roderick. He finished 18th. Bubba Pollard finished 13th. Speed Week's winner, Anthony Sergi, he 21st. Augie Grill all the way back in 23rd. So lots of big names.
For Augie.
But when you go down through that list, like there's some big names in there.
Oh, huge.
That's just one of the most stacked super late model fields that I've seen in a long time. They brought out all the heavy hitters for sure. And that's a big win for Giovanni.
Seen a tweet earlier today from the Rattler 250. There was a posting on a post. How about that?
Posting on a post is what you've seen.
And it was the Canadian Short Track Nationals promoting it. Kind of cool that Alex had somebody, or maybe it was Alex himself down there, putting that poster on there to attract some of those guys to come up north of the border on the Labor Day weekend.
When you put that kind of money up, it's they'll take notice of that little posting.
Right? Oh, let's hope. And let's hope that the rules are, you know, something that are that the Canadian cars don't have to, I don't know, go buy a whole bunch of stuff so that they can be competitive.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's, you know, somewhere close where everybody can just grab their car and get into it. That would be kind of cool.
Straight rail in a crate. Everything else is just for debate.
Well,
it's true. It's, when you look at it, you know, it's straight rail in a crate is you know, everything else is subjective.
What motor are you going to put in? There's lots of talk about that through the week.
Well, that's a completely different deal, though. That's with a super late model equalizer motor, part of the SEAL program. That's not a crate.
Well,
it's
not a crate. Yeah. But there, like, if there's talk in that, there's got to be talk in pro.
Well, there definitely has to be. But, you know, you get a crate and you take it to an engine builder and they take it apart and put it back together.
Whoa. Take a crate. You buy a crate, put it in the car. You're not supposed to take the crate, buy the crate, take it to an engine builder. What are we getting back to? Like, why does an engine builder have to touch a crate engine? Nobody should touch it.
Well,
other than the tech guy, of course.
So here's the thing. With a crate, every crate that comes off that assembly line is different.
Sure it is.
And
hope you get a
one. Do you want the guys, you want a team to buy 10 crates and dyno each one of them and run the best one?
No, I don't want them to do that, but I also don't want them to buy a crate and then take it to an engine builder before it's even got a lap on it.
Oh, man.
It doesn't make any sense. What's the idea of the crate?
Well, I would agree with you if every crate came off the assembly line the exact same.
Well, nothing comes off exactly the same. You never get two tires that are exactly the same.
Then you're into the game of buying 15 crates and dyno in one of them.
How about buying
and having
15,000 tires to get the right four?
You don't
same
need to do that.
Happened.
You don't need to do that. A majority of the tires are the same.
Well, a majority.
You run into some tire issues, but I mean, it's a different ballgame. The engine builder is still going to take a look at it. It's not like so.
Come
here's
on.
The thing. You're not taking a crate to an engine builder and them changing the cam out. If you are, then
maybe.
That engine builder, if he gets caught, is no longer an engine builder for that series.
If he gets caught, if he gets caught, how many wins can a guy get? And how many shows can he look at and go, You know what? These guys, this tech guy at this racetrack has never, ever checked the inside of my crate engine. So I'm going to put in that high-powered crate engine. I'm going to go out, win myself a race. And what's a guy going to do? If these things aren't being blown apart and measured,
yep,
and inspected like a spec engine would be,
yep,
then you know what? I kind of think that unless you got Ricky Brooks going to show up every single night and do his magic, and I believe Ricky would not hesitate to take a crate engine out of a car and blow that crate engine apart right in front of your eyes.
Absolutely.
He would do that.
Yes.
And I think more needs to be done like that. But if you're taking your crate engine and taking it to an engine builder before you even got a lap on it,
yep,
I can't see the merit in the crate program.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Well,
because every engine builder is
going to
charge a little bit more. And he'll charge more based on the success that his engines have.
And what he can find. Exactly. But when you look at it also, you know, they assemble it back together in a way that is going to be beneficial to you. But
there you go.
But
so the guy that can't afford to buy a crate engine and take it to an engine builder to get it massaged before he puts it into his car, is at a disadvantage right out the gate.
The same guy's in a disadvantage if you bought 15 of them and never touched them and dynoed each one of them.
Scratch your head and figure out what's wrong with this picture.
Well, the same guy is at a disadvantage, though. If he can't afford to take an engine to an engine builder and spend $2,500 for him to go through it and put it back together the right way, if he can't afford that, he definitely can't afford to race a guy that's going to buy 10 of them, dyno every single one of them, and race the best one.
Maybe.
Because that guy is going to do the exact same thing for $2,300.
Maybe I'm coming off the wrong way here. It's not the engine that I got a problem with.
No.
It's
the process.
It's the sealed bolts that I got a problem with.
Yeah, 100%.
Why don't we throw those seals away, use the same engine?
Yeah.
Okay, they're being sent out. Okay.
Yep.
So we know that now.
Yep.
Take the seals, throw them away, and put Tech Guys back into play where Tech Guys are going to take the bolts out and inspect it. And inspect it and measure it and then hand the thing back and say, congratulations, you won the race.
I have said that since day one with the crate program. The sealed bolts should have, it's a Fugazi and it should never have been there.
No.
Because the sealed bolts.
I love the idea of the cheapest.
It gets under my skin when a guy wins the race. And now I'm speaking out of turn, but it drives me nuts when a guy wins the race.
Right.
The tech guy lifts the hood. Checks the crank height with a flag, and then shuts the hood and says, good job. Now take it back to your pits, jack it up. I want to look at the rear end.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right.
That being said, when you look at the overall scheme of where late model racing is, the crate program has been a great program because it is definitely a cheaper option.
Sure.
You see one or two crates blow up a year. I haven't seen a crate explode or vent for a long period of time. And the ones that do usually...
They're going to engine builders.
Well, they're going to engine builders being taken apart and put back together.
Right.
They're not going and putting... If they are,
right.
if you've ever taken a crate and taken it to an engine builder and had a different cam put in it,
right.
Shame on you on the program, but
shame
on the tech guy for not catching it.
Right.
There's nothing about a crate that you need to take it apart to look at to see if it has been doctored. There are
heads,
tech tools.
The heads.
You can check
you
everything.
You can relieve underneath those valves. There's a lot of stuff. I've watched all kinds of stuff online.
Absolutely.
That engine builders can do, will do.
Correct. 100%.
To gain horsepower with it.
But that's why they have approved guys.
Approved guys.
If an approved guy gets caught, that guy needs to be crucified and not allowed to do it anymore.
I agree. But they have to get caught. The only way they're going to get caught is if you take it apart.
The credibility portion comes from that little approval within the series.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at the – and we're using this as an example. When I look at the Cars Tour, when I look at the APC Tour, when I look at any of them, I don't care. You name it. They have an approved engine builder.
Yes, they
that
do.
They're allowed to take them apart and look at them. They're
and
allowed
they
to put them back together.
They have their own seals.
They have their own seals.
Yep.
They're sealed.
Yep.
Now, if a guy goes to McGonagall and he gets a McGonagall motor.
Right.
And he takes that to his local machinist.
Right.
And they rip that thing apart and remake McGonagall seals. And he puts Cam X in it, and he augers it out inside, and he lightens the crank, and he bolts it back together, and he does all those great things, and then puts it back together and makes it look like a McGonagall. That's a whole different ball game. Now, that guy needs to be crucified. Now, that guy needs to be checked for, because we've all heard it. We've all walked through the pits and heard somebody say, that guy's cheating his motor.
Yeah. Well, they say that about every winner.
They don't check it. Well, they call everybody a cheater. If you get beat, you're calling the guy a cheater.
That ain't fair.
That guy needs to be checked. But, I mean, in saying that...
Everybody needs to be checked, Joe.
Everybody. They do, and I agree with you. But, that being said, you're walking a tight rope with the builder side. I think that it's okay for them to take it apart. For them to put it back together the way that it should be.
Right.
And that's going to keep everything even for a very little price point.
Right.
And I mean, if you made it so that you had to buy the crate, bring it home, and put that in your car, if that's the way that it's going to be mandated and it's going to be sealed before you get it, and it's going to be put
that's
in your car
whole,
that way.
That's the whole premise
of
the program.
But if you do that, the first guy with $1 million is going to buy 8 or 10 or 15 of those, dyno them, and run the best one. And I'm not talking about a 3-horsepower variance here.
No.
Like, you can get 22, 28 horsepower variants from a stock GM crate.
Well, and that shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
Because they're supposed to be semi-quasi close.
There should be. But
should be.
But even still, the guy who does that
and
buys a bunch of them and dynos them and runs the best one is going to be the winner, and he's doing it completely legal but spending way more money doing it. So I agree, every crate needs to be checked.
Right.
And there needs to be an accountability process built into it. But also, these guys don't need to be running back and forth to their motor builder. If they're using a, if they're using an approved guy, they don't need to be ripping heads off every single week and running 3 hours down the road to to get your motor put back together.
Not every week.
Because that's a bad deal.
Not every week. But I'll tell you what, if you're coming onto Canadian soil and you're going to run for $75,000 to win, I think the bolts should come out of that motor just to make sure absolutely everybody's playing by the rules. Well, that's all I'm saying.
It's not just that race, though. It should
well,
be
not just
any,
that.
Any
I'm
race.
Talking any big race.
Or
something that's
race
paying a lot
general.
Of money because there's so much emphasis in it. And there's so much work that goes into it. And it's a shame when you get maybe railroaded because you've got lack of tech. And it's a tough, tough deal. And I don't think anybody wins.
I'd love to hear what the racers think about that because...
Get your thoughts together, and we'll talk about it next week on the program because we got two big guests coming up here, and I really, really want to hear your opinion on it. Am I right? I kind of think I am. I could be wrong, and I don't mind if you tell me I'm wrong, but when it comes time for cubic inch and motor, there's only one way I know how to increase the cubic inch of a motor, and that's to bore that cylinder out. And if you're allowed to bore it out 30 thousandths of an inch, you no longer have a 350. You got more than that. You got a 353 or a 352. And you can tell that with the cubic inch tester. And you can find out what the difference is by a Whistler. But again, I think the program sort of goes south when you allow 30 thousandths of an inch. It isn't much. It isn't much. But maybe it's just that little wee bit that someone needed. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I do know that if I'm allowed more cubic inch, I want it. I want more cubic inch. Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you?
I mean, yes. But
I do. I want more cubic inch.
There's so much more than 30,000
oh,
being
know,
done.
Oh, I know.
They're putting them back together. They're putting them back together.
I know. And that's what I mean. There is a lot more that could be done if the integrity of the program's being opened. All I'm saying is we need to check them. So let's do away with these sealed bolts and get rid of them and, put tech back into the game. Because yeah. I think it's been lacking other than what Ricky Brooks does and a number of really good tech guys that are here in Canada. And, not saying that there is no tech. I just think there could be more. And there could be I don't think it's necessary that you have to take the guy's engine out of his car and now take it to a dyno and come out with results on Wednesday. That to me is crazy. We got to hit a break. I can't wait to hear your opinion on this. And we got some great guests coming up. Danny Benedict is going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay there.
Hi, my name is Mark Salmon. I drive the number 78 Super Modified, sponsored by Wells Foundry, Curry Steel, and Mobile Striping, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest name.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and
back. It's Race Time Radio. Sirius XM 167. Now, here's Joe.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Yeah. It's old school Joe. Old school Joe here. New way of thinking Junior over on that side of the fence. Can't wait to hear people's opinion on this, especially race teams.
Yeah,
that's what I want to hear.
It should be definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I think that there's so many opinions on the subject. It's definitely a deep subject to be talked about. It'll be really interesting to hear the overall feedback throughout the week. Obviously, there's a lot of people that listen on the podcast throughout the week.
Ooh, yeah. Lots and lots.
You know, if you are listening through the week, just throw out a tweet. You know, let us know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in a guy that had a great show at Motorama. He's got 2019 pretty well kicked off. The only thing he hasn't done yet is turned a lap. And let's welcome in driver, the number 54 in that APC series. Let's welcome in Danny Benedict. What's going on, Danny? Welcome back to Race Time. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm excellent. How are you guys?
Doing real good, my friend. Thanks so much for the time tonight. Man, you've got a busy 2019 all carved out.
Oh, yeah. That's, to say the least, yeah, it's going to be busy. We got our pro late pretty much done. Just kind of finalizing it, and our limited late was at the show there, so ready to kind of tackle two different series this year.
Danny, your limited late model was drop dead gorgeous once again this year. I don't know who comes up with your paint schemes, your design, but whoever does that deserves an award. Man, that car looks awesome.
Thank you very much. Graham Flett from GTA Racing Design does them for me. He does them for me, Ryan Kimball, and a couple other guys, and they always look amazing.
Yeah, they sure do. Man, they really stand out. What's a pro late model going to look like? I haven't seen a photo of that yet, I don't think.
It's going to be much the same as the limited, actually. They're going to kind of be matching, but there'll be subtle differences between the two. One's going to be bright orange, one's going to be bright yellow. So they're going to be a little bit different, but they're going to be much the same as well.
Very visible on the racetrack. Fans will be able to pick out that number 54. Are you going to be 54 in both sides?
Yes, 54 again for both.
Gotta love it when that number sticks, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Good stuff. I got to ask you, like so many things here we got to talk about tonight. Where are we going to start? Let's start with the Rope of Hope. Let's start right there. Make a wish. You got a FundMe page all set up for it. How's it coming along? And tell us about that program.
Yeah, it's great. Me and a couple other drivers from Sunset, Kendra Adams, Taylor Thring, and Daniel Montaneri and I are doing it. You can find out all the information through any of our Facebook pages if you click the link. But on June the 7th, we're going to do a rappel down City Hall. Up until that point, we're raising money for Kids Help Phone. So it's been a lot of fun so far. Can't wait to do it. I work at Heights, so I'm going to be okay with it. But I don't know about the other three, how they are with Heights. It's 30 stories high, so about 300 feet that we'll be rappelling down. So I don't know how they're going to take it. I can't wait to see some of their faces, but it should be a lot of fun, and it's for an amazing cause.
You mentioned you work at Heights. What do you do at Heights?
I'm a power line technician by trade, so I work on a lot of hydro towers around Ontario.
I gotcha. So you're totally fine. You'll be grinning the entire time, right?
Exactly. I'm totally used to that. That's every day for me.
Easy money. Yeah, there you go, right. Danny. That a boy.
Hey, looking at 2019, obviously a little bit of cool news came out just leading up to the Motorama show. The races where you will be racing in the APC Tour, it sounds like it crosses over a little bit with your limited late model stuff. And you might have a fill-in driver. Any news on that front?
Yeah, so I posted on my Facebook page and Twitter page and Instagram page that we pegged Taylor Holdaway to drive for us while I'm away at APC. So I'm really excited about that. Taylor has a ton of experience, especially at Sunset. He's won a ton of races, and his team really runs a family-run program just like we do, so I know he's going to be respectful to the car. There's never any doubt about that. So Taylor's going to do really well. I hope he has a lot of success with it, and I just hope that he has a little bit of fun, too.
And bring the car back just like this, Kay Taylor.
that's the goal.
I bet. But you got to go win races, and you know Taylor knows how to do it. Good choice in drivers. Have you got it figured out how many Taylor's going to have to fill in, or is that still up in the air yet?
It's still up in the air right now. Currently, three races pass over, and the Sunset Rulebook states we're only allowed fill-ins for two. Now, they want us, because me, Gord Shepherd, Nick Getz, and maybe one or two other guys are crossing over and doing both of them, they want to kind of change that rule so that we can run for that championship at Sunset. But they haven't finalized that yet. So as of right now, Taylor's in for three for sure. If Sunset doesn't make a rule change, he might only get to do two, but we're hoping for the full three.
We're with Danny Benedict tonight, driver of the 54 in APC and at Sunset Speedway. Two different cars, but he is the guy that will be behind the wheel in most cases at Sunset, and definitely all the time in the APC series. You're going to go full tilt in APC this year, right? You're going to run the full deal?
Yeah, that's the goal. We're going to do all 11 races. Hopefully, as long as everything goes smoothly, we'll be able to do the full season for both. But we'll see in the first couple of months how it gets rolling. You know, we're just a family-run team, so we're kind of nervous about having to maintain two cars and race two cars full-time. But right now, the schedule is jam-packed right from April 27th right to Thanksgiving with Autumn Colors. So it's going to be busy, but we're hoping that we can manage it all.
And that's the reason you surround yourself with good people, right? It takes a team. It takes everybody pulling on that rope at the same time to make all these things happen. And that's why you surround yourself with good folk.
Yeah, definitely. I got a great team behind me, and they're full tilt into this just like I am. So can't thank them enough.
Gotta love it. Now, another big announcement, too. And I didn't even know the finalists were done. But apparently you're in part of that Kawicki group, right? You're going to be one of those drivers? Has that been formally done?
Somewhat, yeah. So they announced the semifinalists there a couple of weeks ago. What they do is they take all the applications and they narrow it down to 21 drivers. Those 21 drivers have interviews and a couple other procedures to go through, and then they narrow it down to 7 from there. So we're very lucky we made the final 21. Now it's just a matter of making the final 7. So we find that out at the end of March, whether or not we're in or not. But I had my interview and stuff. Everything went really well. And I'm really, really hoping to get into that program. It's definitely an amazing one.
Danny, obviously your career has been a little bit of a whirlwind here since the beginning of 2018. You guys unloaded out of the box, and really you guys were lightning fast every single time you unloaded last year. And you're taking a big swing, obviously, and jumping into the APC Tour. It's got to be an exciting time to be Danny Benedict, obviously. But with that being said, what's the goals here within racing for you over the next 5 years? Because really, if you look at your trajectory, you're on a growth pattern that's really exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. Last year was a dream come true, really. Couldn't have asked for much better. We got off to a great start. Kind of bobbled in the middle of the season, more just driver inexperience. But I've only been in this game, the late model game, for 3 years, so this is my fourth. And obviously we're not expecting too much with the APC series. That series is so tough. There's so many good drivers in it. It's really hard to say, yeah, we're going to come out, we're going to get top threes every single weekend. You know, that's a pretty big feat to do. So we're just looking to gain some experience, learn a little bit, maybe take what we've learned from the limited late and apply it to the pro late. Hopefully, you know, that can work out. But the traveling will be different too. So there's just a lot to learn this season. You know, we're not setting the bar too high by any means. We're going to kind of see how it goes, ride it out. Hopefully everything goes smoothly. As for the next 5 years, I don't really know where we're headed. The Pro Late is obviously right now the top of Ontario, so I don't know where else really to go. I'd love to do a little bit of traveling, love to get out to that great track in Nova Scotia there for that big race. But IWK would be really cool to do, and I'd love to get down to the States, maybe do a Snowflake or do Speed Weeks, do something like that within the next couple of years, but we'll just see how everything goes, how we get this car figured out. It's going to be a long road, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, you got the right attitude heading into a real busy season. And as a racer, it sounds like you got your head screwed on the right way, and that's kind of cool, Danny, I got to tell you. Also, I believe it was earlier last week, I want to say I seen some props given up to you by J.R. Fitzpatrick, I think, saying, hey, this is kind of cool. Danny's going to jump in. He's a good racer. That's pretty cool when you got a champ talking about you like that, bud.
Yeah, yeah, JR's a great guy. I actually got to meet him at Motorama for the first time, and we talked for probably half an hour or so just about different stuff, what's going on. So it's really cool. I've got to meet a couple of the other guys in that series. Last year when we were racing at Doble, I had a bunch come up to me and say, you know, great job. We can't wait for you to come join us. So definitely been a warm welcome into that series, and I'm really looking forward to getting into it.
So lap number one, what's it going to be in? When's it going to be?
Well, I know it's going to be at Sunset Speedway. I can't say whether it's going to be in my car or Kendra Adams' car, actually, because I just did a whole bunch of updates to her car. So just finished that yesterday. It rolled out of my shop and back home to her shop. So I'm going to kind of be bouncing between my two limited lates, my limited late and her limited late, trying to get the perfect setup. But my first race will definitely be in the limited late model at Sunset Speedway.
So that'll knock the winter rust off, if there is any. And then, the Prolate testing will begin after that?
Yeah, right after we get that limited laid out for the first time, we're hoping to have the Prolate out not long after. With it kind of being a new build, obviously, new car blues do happen. So we're going to do our best to do as much testing as we can. Obviously, it's going to be hard while racing the limited laid out at the same time, but Sunset staff and owners are so good to us, and Brian told me anytime I need the track just to give him a call. So we got lots of testing lined up, so hopefully we can knock that rust off pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Talk to us a little bit about the chassis build on your Prolate. Was it an existing car in the past, or is it a brand new piece? And what kind of, one thing that we hear a lot of is teams being associated with other builders and chassis builders and whatnot. Who are you guys associated with, and what's that chassis build out look like?
So both of my cars are both Shaw Motorsports built cars. Myself and Jason and Dale built both of them, so. The Prolate was actually Sean Chenoweth, and we ended up buying it back from him when he sold it. He ran it for one season at Flamborough and in the APC series. So
okay.
When he decided to go in a different direction, we picked that back up from him. And now I've kind of put a lot of my own work into it and decided that I'm going to race it myself. So I ended up just kind of bought the chassis and the body, and then I purchased Chris Mitchell's Prolate model from Peterborough Speedway and put a whole bunch of parts and pieces from that into this one, and then turned that car around and sold it. So we got two Shaw chassis here. That's what we run. Jason and Dale have been so good to me over the years, and they've been a big part of our success for sure. I wouldn't be where I am without them. Dale's my crew chief. Obviously, he's coming back to APC racing this year, so we're going to be on the track at the same time for the first time, so that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully he can teach me some stuff on the track now that he's taught me off the track.
You're going to find out how quick Dale shuts up, right? Because he knows you got potential. He wants to beat you.
Me and Dale, we have a great relationship. We're best friends. So I think he said it before. He hopes it comes down to me and him at Delaware. That'd be the goal, but just being on the same track as him, he's got a lot of experience and obviously a lot of talent. So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Past champion in the APC series. It's going to be kind of cool to see him back in a race car, to see you out there. Man, I'll tell you what, 2019's looking better and better. How about support on these cars? How's the sponsorship coming along?
Yeah, it's coming great. We got all our limited guys over to the Prolate too. They're all 100% on board, so I can't thank them enough. Obviously, Shaw Motorsports is huge to us. GTA Racing Design, Dan McCaddy Race Cars is coming over with us. Bottle Auto Services, Hoy's Garage, Irwin Tax, the Homesmith, just everyone. Everyone is right on board for both cars, so it's awesome.
Well, I don't want to get those butterflies flying around too early here, but just so you know, Danny, you've only got like, 4 or 5 weeks left? That's it, buddy, and then it's go time.
I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Danny, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Safe travels home, and can't wait to see you on the racetrack, my man.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you guys soon.
You want to believe it. Danny Benedict, driver of the 54 Lookout Junior. He's going to be one to be keeping your eye on, both at Sunset in the APC Series. He's going to fit in good with those guys.
Absolutely, and it'll be really interesting to see. Obviously, you know, he mentioned it, he's only been in the game for a few handful of years here, and, you know, he's got lots of laps at Sunset, so he'll be good there, and luckily the APC Tour goes there a few times. I watched him at Sauble Speedway a couple times last year through the Great Lakes deal, and he was pretty good, and it should be really interesting to see what he can put together. You know, at Flamborough, I've never seen him race at Flamborough. If he's got any laps there, I haven't seen. Same thing with Delaware. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see him put together. He's got some great guys with some really big notebooks behind him with the Shaw camp, and it'll be really interesting to see what they can put together.
Okay, final break. When we come back, we're going to talk Gander Outdoor Truck Series. We got one of the best coming up. We got, how about Grant Enfinger? He's going to join us live on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Derek Tiersmith, driver of the number 7 Oscar Super Late model, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in, keep trucking.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no slough it off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Race Time Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved Sirius XM app.
Got the need for speed.
They're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
We're getting long in the tooth here tonight, but trust me when I say this next guest This guy here is just getting wound up, I can guarantee you. Let's welcome in driver for Thor Sport. He's in a Ford for Champion Power Equipment. Driver, the number 98. How about Grant Enfinger? We got him live tonight. What's going on there, Grant? How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank y'all for having me on the show. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it sure has, Grant. I thought, man, it'd be a good time to reach out to you just ahead of Martinsville, a half-mile racetrack that you guys head to next weekend. How's the truck plans coming? Everything looking good or what?
Everything's looking great. I mean, we've had good speed this year. We didn't have all the things we wanted to go our way at Las Vegas, but we were able to salvage what we could there. But overall, we've really, you know, started off right at Daytona, ready to go racing, and our guys have stepped it up this off season, and feel really good about where we're at Thor Sport Racing. So we've had better speed out of our F-150s than we did in these races last year, and I feel like that trend is just going to continue. It seemed like kind of the second half of last year we kind of came to our own with our 98 group. Led by Jeff Hensley, and we haven't really slowed down since. So we're continuing to ride that momentum.
You know, Grant, as long as you can finish better than you started, which you've done two out of the three races so far this year, starting fifth and finishing second, man, that's not bad when you can do that. And then you know the win is right around the corner. What are you thinking about Martinsville? I know you haven't got a win there yet, but you've had good success at that track.
We have. You know, we finished, I think it was third or fourth, the spring race last year. And then the fall race, we had good speed and just had a lot of crazy stuff happen. Some of it self-inflicted and some of it just bad racing luck. But, you know, Martinsville is kind of one of those wild card races. You get a caution with 20 laps to go. You just don't know how it's going to finish off. All of us drivers seem to go crazy at the end there. But I think we're going to have really good speed. Jeff Hensley and the guys have worked really hard. I feel like we got the same truck that we had last year. We've got the same basic package that we're starting with. But we've raced this package a couple of times. So we've got a couple little tweaks in there that we're going to try. I feel really good about it going into it. So, like I said, you never know how it's going to play out, but I feel really good about it. It's going to be a very entertaining race to watch. Martinsville, it can get crazy, but the truck race in Martinsville always gets crazy. So it'll be definitely entertaining.
You went out there this weekend, Grant, got your body damage out of the way. So you're going to roll out of Martinsville with a completely straight and clean truck, which is a good thing, right? This weekend, seems like you went out there this weekend and got to play with a Mustang, but you needed a few Band-Aids to put her back together.
Yeah, you know, the guys at Ford Performance were gracious enough to let all the Thor Sport drivers have their turn at some Ford Mustang GT4s down at Sebring Raceway this past week, and man, it was a blast. I ended up sharing a Mustang with Matt Crafton, and man, from where we started the week to where we finished it was great. We both had a good speed, good pace. Crafton did the first stint, and he actually did good. I think he came in the pits running sixth or seventh, eighth, somewhere in there, and I got in the car and we took off and had good pace there, and then we ended up having a pit road violation and I had to serve a penalty, then and kind of got caught in the middle of the pack on a restart, and I kind of got pushed around there and got spun out in one of the hairpins and dragged the bumper off that really pretty Ford Mustang GT4. So unfortunate how the race actually ended, but we did get to finish and finish on the lead lap and all that kind of stuff. So we got a lot of seat time and learned a lot. And really can't say thank you enough to the guys at Ford Performance just for that opportunity. I've never done anything like that, but I definitely think it's going to help just get us more road course experience, because we only have one road course in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series, but it's a really important one up there in Canada. So it's right there at the beginning of our playoffs, and really you got to get through that race to get through to the next round of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Looking at the weekend, obviously you had lots of fun. Those cars look like a blast. Were they as fun to drive as what it looks?
Absolutely. It there was paddle shifting, so I feel like myself and Crafton, I feel like we're going to get spoiled when we get up there to Mossport and we got to shift our own gears again and all that stuff. But ABS, I mean, I've never pushed a brake pedal so hard in my life, and still to not lock up a brake is unbelievable. I was literally pushing with every force I had, just trying to push the brake pedal through the firewall, and that thing would just stop. So it's pretty incredible, some of the technology that's on those cars, and also how diverse the IMSA series is. Just in our class, we're racing against McLarens and Audis and all kinds of crazy makes of cars. So it was definitely a blast. I'd never even been to a sports car race, so it was definitely an eye-opening experience for me, and just an awesome experience overall.
Well, just don't push the brake pedal that hard in turn 5A, 5B this year. Just
Mossport.
Yep.
Well, fortunately enough, the four guys, I believe, are going to give us another opportunity with those Mustangs at Mossport in the middle of the summer there. So we'll have another shot to learn that track. And then when we get there in September, we'll have to dial back a little bit for the truck. But really, really looking forward to get back up there and racing with you guys. But we got an important one this weekend at Martinsville as well.
Absolutely. Grant, looking at you're a late model guy at heart. I know that. You had to have one eye kind of looking over at South Alabama Speedway for the Rattler 250. Did you catch any of that coverage?
Man, unfortunately, I was tied up when the Rattler was going on, so I still have yet to hear the winner. So don't tell me.
I won't tell you.
I want to go back and look at the coverage. So, but man, that's a race that I really miss racing. Myself able to run that race quite a few times and able to get a couple wins there, and man, it's just it's a crazy place because you basically, it feels like you're traveling back in time when you go to off Alabama, and you get there and the community really supports that race well, and John Dykes and those guys really put on a great show there, so it's cool to see a small town in Alabama get to put on a big race that gets some national coverage every year. So really proud to have that in the home state.
For $10, I won't tell you who won.
I could
PayPal.
Guess if it would be a Bubba Pollard.
You're wrong.
No, you're wrong. But anyways,
oh, I can't tell you.
We can't talk about it anymore. No, it's cool.
All right. Let's not talk.
Grant, we're with Grant Enfinger tonight, live on Race Time. He drives the number 98 for Thor Sport in a Ford for Champion Power Equipment in that Gander Outdoor Truck Series south of the border, getting ready for Martinsville. Wants to win a clock. Matt Crafton, your teammate, I believe he's got a clock or two kicking around there. I know for sure. Johnny Sutter, your other teammate, he's got a bunch of them. It's about time you win one.
I agree. I like how you're thinking, Joe. My teammates got plenty of them, but between Johnny and Matt, they probably got 5, 6, 7 of them between the two of them. So yeah, they've got some. So now we just need one. You know, that's not being greedy, is it?
No.
I really feel like we've got a great opportunity, and I can't say thank you enough to Champion Power Equipment who lets us do this. But also, Mike Curb and Curb Records is going to be on the truck this weekend at Martinsville, and how much they've done for us and for Thor Sport Racing. So between him, Duke, and Rhonda Thorson, we got a lot of people to thank. And the best way to thank them is from Victory Lane. So I feel great about our opportunity to do that. We just need some things to go our way, and I think it's definitely possible.
You know, Grant, you guys have come so far with that Ford truck. I know that was a big changeover for Thor Sport, but now the numbers are coming, right? You're seeing the results, and I want to say it was like halfway through last year. You guys nailed it. You guys, all the teams came on. And those Fords, they're to be reckoned with now, I do believe. You guys are the ones to beat. At least I hope you are.
Good speed. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. We got
good
you back.
It, You do have me?
Yeah, got you back.
Okay, sorry about that. But, yeah, we all unloaded great at Daytona and had good, strong runs. I think every one of our Thor Sport Fords led at Atlanta. And then, you know, Vegas, we stumbled a little bit as a group and as the 98 truck itself. But overall, I feel like Thor Sport Racing is stronger this year. I feel like we've taken the off season and improved on everything we had. So I feel good about it. Our pit crew has done an amazing job so far this year. And man, I feel great about our opportunity for Martinsville this weekend. But I feel great about making a run for this championship. I really do.
Qualifying at Martinsville, how much weight do you put into qualifying at Martinsville? Is it a big disadvantage if by chance you happen to, you know, miss the setup or something like that in qualifying and you start back a bit? It's a half-mile racetrack. Is it a big disadvantage, Grant?
Absolutely. I mean, if you miss it a little bit at Martinsville, say you miss it by a tenth of a second, that could take you from a top five starting spot to a, you know, 15th to 20th starting spot. So it's a huge deal because it's so hard to pass. You really have to, unless your truck is just incredibly good, you have to use up your truck, your fenders, your tires, your brakes, and everything else to get past guys. So you want to be able to start up front. That way you can kind of maintain that track position all day, and that way you still have a truck you can race with and contend with at the end. If you start in the back and you have to use a lot of your truck up to get to the front, Then by the time you get there, you don't have much to work with. So yeah, qualifying is very important. It's important at all the truck races, but definitely Martinsville. And also the way we do qualifying now, how we qualify at Martinsville is how we're going to pick pits at Texas. And so every race we run at, the order in which we qualify there is how we pick pits the following week. So that's always incentive for the crew chief to get good pit stuff. So, yeah, we definitely put a lot of emphasis on qualifying.
Yeah, going to be amazing. I tell you what, I love the Martinsville race. I know fans just come unglued for it. You guys will race on Saturday, correct, or is it Friday?
No, it's Saturday after lunch. So it'll be a great show.
Yeah.
So they do have lights at Martinsville yet, but they're not one to use them, I guess, for us yet. But it'll be a great show. And hopefully, we'll have some good weather. You know, this race last year, we actually got snowed out. We had to come back on a Monday. So hopefully we don't run into any of those issues this year.
Yeah, no sign of snow, buddy. No sign of snow. You guys are going to be under the sun, and you're going to be slipping and sliding around in that truck. Going to feel a little bit like that road course. I imagine you guys were sliding around there, too, a bit.
Absolutely, we were. So there is actually a lot of similarities between Martinsville and some of those road courses as far as the technicalities of the corners there and the braking. So maybe Sebring it got me warmed up just where I need to be for Martinsville this week.
Well, I don't think Brad's going to allow that paddle shifter or the better set of brakes, but good luck in trying to get them to go with it.
I'm going to do my best to talk them into it because, like I said, by the time we're even there, like, man, I mean, this is incredible. This is almost easy. So it just does a lot of the work for you. So it's pretty incredible technology in those cars. But I don't think Brad Moran and the NASCAR guys are going to allow that anytime soon.
I doubt it. Man, it's great. Been great talking with you tonight, Grant. I know we look forward to this race at Martinsville, and I know we even look more forward to getting you guys back to CTMP for the Silverado 250 weekend coming up at CTMP August the 25th. But maybe we get a chance to even see you when the Grand Am stuff rolls through, by the sounds of it, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, just a testament. I always, Joe, thought Canada was, you know, the Great White North. It snowed there all the time. And the last couple of years from being up there in Mossport, And it has surprised me that your country is actually very, very beautiful at that time of year. So I'm looking forward to making a couple of trips up there this year. And definitely can't wait to get to the race there in Mossport.
Well, thank you so much for the compliment. It comes a long way coming from Alabama and Grant Enfinger. That's cool. We're going to steal a page out of Robert Hart's book at New Smyrna Speedway, and I'm going to tell you, the beer is always colder at CTMP in Victory Lane.
All right. Well, hopefully I can experience that this year.
Good stuff, Grant. Safe travels to Martinsville. Good luck in the race, and we'll save your seat here. I can't wait till the next time you win a race, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim and Joe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You want to believe it. Grant Enfinger, driver for Thor Sport in that Champion Power Equipment Ford. This guy's got a chance. He always has a chance, but I think he's going to do it at Martinsville, bud.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's only made the Thor Sport contingent stronger. Looking at adding, you know, Johnny Sauter to the mix. I know he was a part of Thor Sport in the past, but back to the mix, there's no chance that he didn't bring ideas and knowledge with him from what GMS was doing. So really, when you combine or add a guy like that, the experience that he had along with Joe Scheer, the inner workings of what GMS had to work with, and you inject it into a place like Thor Sport with the resources that they bring and they have, it only elevates the program. And really, when you look at the first couple races out of the gate with the Truck Series, it's no joke. They were very strong, and obviously when they roll into the short track, they'll be very strong once again. Obviously, you know, it's going to be difficult to deal with Kyle Busch out there. he's going to be strong, and he's going to be stout. And same with Brett Moffitt and those guys with GMS. But I think not only Grant, I think the entire Thor Sport organization have to be favorites rolling into Martinsville.
Well, Kyle was there this weekend too on Saturday, but he was no match for Cole Custer. He went to Victory Lane. Got a quick clip with him. Let's fit it in before the end of the show. Here is Cole Custer.
Yeah, it meant a lot. I mean, I grew up racing, you know, in Orange Show about 20 minutes from here, and then at Irwindale, that's, you know, another 20 minutes from here. So it means a lot to come back here and win. Obviously, we had tons of people out here taking pictures. That's why it took so long to get here. But it's an awesome, awesome win. I mean, one of the best tracks. I mean, every driver, I think, wants to win here because of how cool the track is, and then also a hometown track. It means a lot.
You know, Kyle ended up, he had the race going, man. He was doing really good in the race, ended up with a little bit of trouble. And here's what Cole had to say. When Kyle had that trouble, did it change his race?
Well, even when he was in front of us, I felt like if the restart came out or a really long run happened, I feel like we could have maybe caught him. I mean, we were pretty even, I would say. But right there when they had that mistake on pit road, that definitely made it so I just knew I had to get clean air and I needed to pull away as fast as I could. Because I knew we were the second fastest car, or you know, it was pretty much between us two. You know, so I needed to get as far away as possible and build up a lead, and we were just able to do that.
I'll tell you what, he was some excited in Victory Lane, and good on Cole Custer. He had a good car, Junior. You and I watched that race, and we've only got like 30 seconds, but he had a really good car, and we noticed it through the race.
Yes, definitely, and he really turned a corner there right after the second set of pit stops. But when you look at any time a Xfinity guy can go out there and beat a Cup guy, let alone Kyle Busch in an Xfinity race. And I don't mean beat. It was heads up beat. He beat him. And that is a massive accomplishment. And hats off to him, his entire team. Really, when you look at it, Mike Shiplett and that, you know, the crew chief now, he was part of the 42 last year. So Cole Custer is going to be a favorite to win a lot of these races as we come down through the stretch.
Yeah, he is the real deal. It's going to be kind of cool. A lot of good teams in Xfinity. You can catch him up here in Canada on TSN on Saturdays when their race goes. Click on TSN. And if you can't watch the race on television, always remember you can tune to Sirius XM Channel 90 and listen to the MRN coverage. They will have live flag-to-flag coverage of all your truck, Xfinity, and Cup races. It's yet another good reason to have Sirius XM. But, Junior, you know what? That's going to stick a fork in you and I here for tonight. That's going to do it for us. Got to thank Susie Q here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us up with all the talent here tonight. Got to thank my friends back in Toronto at the Sirius XM studio for getting us out to you. And we want to thank you for tuning in and carving out a couple of hours to join Junior and I as we talk to some of the best racing talent weekly here on Racetime Radio. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. We do appreciate it. And we'll be back here next Sunday night on Sirius XM Channel 167 or through the week on the Performance Motorsport Network or XFM, you know the deal. Check us out on iTunes if you missed the show. But that does it. Have a good one, everybody. Have a safe week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.